Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture. Are you hanging up your wrestling on your wall? Are you hanging up your wrestling on your wall? Are you hanging up your wrestling on your wall? Are you hanging up your wrestling on your wall? Are you hanging up your wrestling on your wall? I'm Adam Wilbur from What Culture, joined by Adam Cleary and Michael Sidgwick from What Culture to discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week and the What Culture Christmas party.
You made a mug of me there.
But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Cleary and Sidgwick. And Adam Cleary literally called the song before the show started today.
I did. He went, look, feel free to get involved with the song. And as I normally do, I went, absolutely not, that's your bit. But then he started, and you reprised a particular highlight from the What Culture Christmas party. And what can I say? The rhythm took me over.
It's a surreal...
Call him Omicron because he's infectious.
Oy.
It's a surreal Wrestle Culture because normally this takes place...
Awful, isn't it? It's normally absolutely horrendous.
The day after the Christmas party. Our Christmas party was on Tuesday this week and, well, we've all been suffering as a result of it. Andy Murray working from home today. Phil Chambers.
Don't know. There might be a pulse. No one's checked.
Hamflet again working from home. We thought it was a good idea because it's like, oh, great, well, you can... You know, Christmas party Tuesday, Wednesday, it was a bit off, and then be back into the swing of things. Yeah. No, it's just been a write-off since Tuesday.
To be absolutely fair, the tradition of the many traditions we have for the Christmas party or What Culture is you go out for the Christmas party, and then you have a fairly useless Friday.
Yeah.
It's just that this year we've had three fairly useless Fridays in a row.
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, and now today have all been. I've made bank. Obviously, yeah. I've absolutely earned my wage.
Let me just check something. Oh, yeah, still top of the wrestling charts.
Oh well, there you see, it's fine, absolutely fine.
All works done, Sidge.
Just checking something. All my books are sold out.
All your books sold out. Yes. Cool. What's everyone else done this week?
If anyone literally dropped their arse when I just said that, you know, the hundreds upon hundreds of mega fans. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, there will be an update incoming.
I can't officially give that update, but I will say, if it is your Christmas wish to read any of the books we've released, whether that's Development Hell, the NXT story, Becoming...
All Elite, All the Rise of AEW.
Rise of AEW, get the wrong way around. Or 606 wrestling matches to see before you die, which of course you will one day. If it is your Christmas wish to read any of those fine pieces of literature, well, Santa might just have a little bit of joy in his sack for you.
One person who's going to be getting coal for Christmas this year, Ben Roy Turner, who had the day off after the Christmas party because he's a cop.
Yeah, cop.
So, I mean, we have to call people out for what they are on this
podcast.
You
take the day off after the Christmas party, it is What Culture heritage.
Yeah.
If you take the day off after the Christmas party, you are just worthless. He's a fetid worm.
He is, like.
Any casualties after the Christmas party this year? I mean, we talked at length about... Adam Nicholas and his face plant a few years back. I think we all got through it relatively unscathed this year.
So obviously, basically what the What Culture Christmas party is, it is a succession of afters, right? It's afters upon afters upon afters. Because the party is the bowling alley. and we bowl, and we get our food, we have our buffet, and we play pool.
We bowl, we can drink, we could drink some more. That's what we can do.
That's
at the
what
Christmas
we do.
Party.
That's what we do at the Christmas party. But then there's afters, isn't there? Afters at Rafferty's, which is, you know, one of our favourite. I mean, all due respect to Rafferty's, they know it's a terrible bar, but we love it.
It's
but
a dive
it.
Bar.
It's a dive bar.
Everyone loves it on that
it's
basis.
It's a dive bar, but we love it. We absolutely love it. That's the afters. But then, of course, there's afters afters, which is where we've got Cozy Joe's, Newcastle's premier karaoke bar. Hands up, anybody who did a song this year? No, you will, boy.
I
no
just
singing.
Stood next to the stage, shouted, and at one point when Emile was on stage, I believe, jumped up and put my arm around.
There is a little video of you doing that, and the man, the humorless karaoke master, being quite displeased.
Me and Hamflet did This Charming Man. We were desperate to get to Cozy Joe's. We were the first two to abandon Rafferty's. We were given Adam Nicholas's credit card for this exact purpose of getting a booth. And they were asked how much it cost. He said £150.
Jeez.
And it's like an instant sobering up. It was like, can we do this to Nicholas? And I'm thinking, yeah. And Hamflet's like, oh, it's probably bad form. And I realised there's an actual karaoke. The turn-taking deal in the bar.
The beauty of Cozy Joe's is that while you can't hire any of their illustrious karaoke booths, there is also just a karaoke stage in the middle of the bar.
So me and Hamflet, being massive nerds and massive marks by design, that's what we do. We are professional marks.
Yeah.
We said, wouldn't it be like tits and like a sitcom scene if we decided to go on stage and that is the precise moment at which our colleagues came
every
in and
received
us. Every single
other member of staff walked in the bar. And we did.
Yes.
And there wicked. You were on a hillside, désolé, and we just opened the door. Oh, it was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I mean, why pamper life's complexities when you can just go to Cozy Joe's and sing songs?
And the reason for the song at the beginning there was Michael Hamflet and Phil Chambers doing that exact song. Are you hanging up the stocking on your wall? Merry Christmas, everybody, from Slade, of course. But just that song for the entire song. And, the bloke in charge of the karaoke was not pleased.
Oh, please get up for the comedy stylings of Michael and Phil.
He said? Good joke, lads.
Good joke, lads. Or something like that. I tell you what, that DJ knew precisely what to drop after a song had been butchered by some drunkard. There was Luther Vandross. He can't beat a bit of Luther.
I've also now, as of today, seen the clip of me and Emile doing Love Machine by Girls Aloud.
Wow.
Another bop.
I hadn't forgotten I'd done that. I just had no memory of it, if that makes sense. But then, of course, that was the afters to the afters to the afters.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thread of conversation, Adam Wilborn, if you can cast your minds back 5 minutes, was you asking me if there's any casualties. The afters to the afters to the afters, the post-Cozy Joe's, the final whittling down of only the hardcore alcoholics at What Culture, ended up being me, Chris Thompson, Emile Frenchie, Marcus Bronji, and Tiny Amy from the Horror Channel. And out of those five people, which do you think suddenly turned around and went, oh God, I've had too much here, I've got to go home?
I'm going to, because of the way you've set it up, I'm going to say Marcus.
It was Marcus.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Hilarious. But that was it. We all ended up with Lady Grace, stayed about 2:30, and then went to bed and woke up in the morning going, why did I do that then?
Yeah.
Why did I do that then?
Marcus is someone who we met last year on the work Christmas party over Zoom, but I'd never met in person.
The first Marcus is based in London, so it's the first time. Obviously, it was a bit of a stretch this year. Obviously, I don't know whether if you're not in the UK, you might not be aware we're putting increasing restrictions now. Yeah. We're not going full lockdown or anything, but the suggestion is maybe restrict your travel, maybe try and work from home if you can. Blah blah blah. So
no one had a Christmas party last year.
So the idea of getting loads of our colleagues from across the country up was sort of it was presented. If you'd like to come up, you are welcome to, but obviously no pressure. Yeah. So no Jules, no Miller, no Gareth, a few others who didn't make it. But Marcus was just like, yeah, having a party, are you? Never been to Newcastle. Cool. And just booked himself a hotel.
Top boy.
And came up, and he was tremendous.
He's on good form.
It's bigger than I anticipated.
It's the first time I've met Marcus in person. He is a unit.
He walked in, and I was really glad that I managed to bowl a strike for him, because I was terrified. I was like, thinking, like, oh, here I am, big, lanky lad in the What Culture office. Who's this guy? What's going on here? This isn't right. I thought he was like, you know, 6 foot at most.
He's
on the
not.
Straight
you
channel.
Could have 100 goes at drawing a What Culture presenter, and I never think you'd ever perfectly capture Marcus's energy. He's not like you and me.
Would you like to hear my favourite moment from the What Culture Christmas party?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I know what this is.
Okay. Sid, do you want to set the scene here? Or
the scene is I've been narrowly defeated by one of the bosses at pool, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That fueled my resentment of the remaining fixtures. Michael Hamflet then had a game with Josh Brown. Yeah. Michael Hanford's pretty much the best pool player in the office. And I am a prick, so I like to see him get beat because he beats me so often. And I wanted Josh to beat him. And Josh is... he's okay, right?
Yeah.
He's got a shot on him.
Josh can play. Josh can play.
Never played against me.
Josh can play.
So that's funny. I didn't expect Josh to win. Josh won. I was very hyped up. Lots of adrenaline. Lots of cruel adrenaline was flowing through my veins.
Lots of fizz.
And for whatever reason, we'd been talking about the rapper H, who is a white rapper from Leeds, who has a song that we rather enjoy because of a line that delivered by anyone else may sound pretty cool, but it done in a Leeds accent, well, it sounds as similar to this.
All I know in that moment was that I wanted to do something with the energy and the happiness and the euphoria of my friend getting beaten in a game of pool.
I should inform you.
I make a blush. I should when inform I call you both
that I haven't actually looked at my camera roll since Tuesday. But I've not been able to bring myself to. But I do appear to have 19 seconds of this charming man and 13 seconds of are you hanging up your stocking on your wall? Are you hanging up your stocking on your wall? Any requests? I've also got this picture of you, which you're going to have to post on social media later.
Uh-oh.
Just these.
What's happening here? How am I on my knees? I don't remember. I really think my memory got pretty much wiped when we went to Cozy Joe's.
Which would you like? This charming man or you know, he's talking on your wall?
I think we've had our young
stuff here. You look in trepidation here.
Okay, yes, yeah, charming man. Actually, no, I've...
Too late.
The Hamlet in that. I've got to say, Hamlet's got the moves like.
Oh, he's absolutely in that zone. There's a wonderful time spent with him. I've only, after, 3 years of podcasting, got accustomed to the sound of my own rubbish voice, the singing voice, which I don't have. I'll never get used to that.
Anyway, should we talk about some wrestling?
Yes, there's a pretty... I would call a sharp pivot.
Yeah, we'll get to that in due course.
It's not the time to do it.
Let's talk instead about something else we've been looking forward to this week. The debut of Hook in AEW. How would you... we introduced Amy to Hook earlier on today, didn't we, Adam Cleary?
Yeah.
And how are you feeling about this absolute piece that is Taz's son debuting in ring tonight?
All right, yeah. Looks... I mean, I've got, I'm out tonight, so I've got plans. I'm sure. Look, from what I've seen, Hook, there's marketable talent there, isn't there? There's a quite marketable talent in the old
supple young body.
That's what. It's kind of yeah. All right, I was running my finger around that. Look, isn't there? I don't know much about Hook. I'll tell you that. I'm quite happy to be educated on Hook, right? But is the apprehension about him that he looks so ready made a talent that the in-ring work might dramatically disappoint?
No.
Well, get in there.
The quite opposite is true. Everyone first clasped eyes on this brooding, handsome young man who was the son of goddamn Taz and thought, I don't know why yet. I can't articulate this yet. And we'd only seen like his obscured face underneath the hoodie, and we all just somehow knew that's pro wrestling's next megastar.
Yeah.
He became a meme as a result. All in good faith, no one was taking the mick out of the idea of Ahuk. We just instantly knew he was going to be this good. And all the reports, because it's in the Carnage Rampage, so everyone knows how good or not it was. And apparently he was absolutely class.
Yeah.
I've spoke at length about Ahuk on the Rampage preview, which of course you can listen to wherever you get your podcast from right now. Wilborn, what is it that first fascinated you with Ahuk?
Yeah, I think it was the hair, I've got to say, first of all. It's just... defies gravity and logic, and like also that body with the only thing I've seen him eat on camera is crisps, so that was flabbergasting as well. Also, there can't be many examples. I'm assuming maybe Dusty did it with Cody, but there can't be many examples of a father commentating on a son's wrestling match.
There's not many that I can recall.
No.
I know Steve Corino worked his kid in an incredible match earlier this year. So that's kind of a bit of a buzz for older fans who are still with it. to get these intergenerational deals. But it's just Taz and Hook, they don't look related, and yet they are, and it makes sense that they are. Taz commentating on Hook tonight is going to be incredible. He's going to be totally biased. It's going to be incredible. He's going to get terrified if, in fact, Fuego gets something in on him. I'm not sure. Fuego's going to do something perfectly within the rules of the match, and Taz is going to cry cheating in that wonderful Bobby Heenan way. It's going to be class.
I can't believe this is going to happen on the same week as Robbie Savage's son came on for Man United. Yes.
We're all getting very old is the takeaway.
People who were much older than us and we hated as children for various reasons. Taz because I've played a heel wrestler, Robbie Savage because he's a piece of shit. now we're like feeling either encouraged or underwhelmed by their sons making their first forays into the same industry. Wow.
Times they are a-changing. Speaking of which, more NXT departures this week. Or are they, I suppose? There's reports now going around that WWE is still hopeful that Kyle O'Reilly and Johnny Gargano may come back. They were, you know...
That's what people say about their dogs that have ran off, man. Not like a wrestler you can pay money to work on your show.
But you obviously used to cover NXT a lot. It's very different nowadays, Adam Cleary. Do you think, you know, is it so much change that AEW, for example, is a better place for them?
Well, again, this does sound like your dog's run away, but rather than it returning back to its abusive home, it's been hit by a car and gone to the farm that all dogs dream of running around on when they are hit by cars. Apologies, everyone's dog got hit by a car. This week, by the way, couldn't have known about that, could I?
Mine did, so.
Did it?
Oh. Yeah.
Did I?
What? Yeah. It's a horrible story. It's not wrestle culture worthy of this story.
Are you for real?
Yeah. After we stopped recording, I'll tell you who was
behind. I didn't even know you had a dog.
This is years ago.
Oh, I meant
a teenager.
I meant this week.
Oh, this week?
Oh, God, no, it's ages ago.
Oh, my dad was behind the wheel.
What?
Yeah, he was on his way out anyway. It was like some sprightly 7-year-old sinewy lab, like.
I thought when you said that as well, when you said he was on his way out, I thought you meant your dad.
Like, your dad was
just
like,
into the shops.
That's cheaper than the vets, this son. Just put his pedal down. Not
honestly,
like that happened.
I can't tell you the emotional rollercoaster I've just been in. Because my exact words were, I'm sorry if anyone's dog got hit by a car this week. And you went, yeah, mine was.
I didn't hear this week. I did not hear this week.
Again, I want to apologise to anybody whose dog did get hit by a car this week. But
a dog
unless
was
it was on its way out.
No, Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly are not going back to NXT, okay. All right? Trips is behind the wheel and he's mowed them over on the drive.
He reversed. he was going to die the next week. That's what I told my dad anyway. Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly, right? Johnny Gargano.
What was it? No, come on. We're not leaving this. What was the poor thing's name?
Billy.
Billy.
I love like, not human, because they're all, you know, technically human names. I just love that when dogs are named, you know, not like Rex or whatever. Billy. I love it. Would you have O'Reilly and Gargano in AEW?
Of course I would.
Yeah?
Of course I would. Again, like, we spoke about this on the news. I shouldn't be such a polymath. Is the problem here, because I'm going to regurgitate content. Kyle O'Reilly is genuinely got like an irreverent sense of humor. We saw
got an erection there.
We saw like the air guitar stuff and various promos he cut as a heel. Because WWE scripts like WWE scripts, he was absolutely a dead
Peter Dune,
and he's like, they dressed up as Orange Cassidy without realizing it was subconscious plagiarism, and he was just totally doomed. Gargano was similarly deemed because he was Acetera's hands for about 3 years. And they're both incredible technicians with actual senses of humor. That Gargano was better at adapting to TV than O'Reilly was. They're going to be class in AEW, and that's where they're going. Here's the thing. NXT, right now...
Verging on insight this, by the way. I need to warn you.
Johnny Gargano could go back to NXT. NXT, right now, is a throng of 200 people... and it's a cult led by a showbiz dad, or go to like a weekly touring show that plays hosts to between 6,000 and 10,000 people, rabid people per week.
Yeah, and with there is this cult, but that's, you know, developmental. When you get to the main roster, it's like, the writing's on the wall for you two. Just look at what they did to Sami Zayn in the last week.
Johnny Gargano could literally get like an 8-star match from Dave Meltzer, and Vince would go, tiny.
One surprising departure I did see this week, Adam Cleary, was
somebody's dog.
was Joseph Connors from NXT UK. Someone who...
Was surprised in the sense that you didn't know NXT UK was still a thing?
Well, a little bit of that, but also I'm just astonished that they didn't do more with someone like him. I remember being there when he made his return to WCPW.
Right, yeah. Okay, it's a bit of narrative to this. Obviously, Connors was part of that initial intake they did with NXT UK when they basically... dropped their backsides at World of Sport, Progress, ICW, Us, and they went, you know, their various ways of combating each of these promotions in the UK, and they made those major signings. And he did. He wasn't our champion at the time. We had mercifully been given the heads up, mm-hmm. so we were able. It wasn't one of these situations where, as happened with other champions, we just saw them sitting in the front row of NXT TakeOver. We did get the head. They did at least let us know that, like, whatever, yeah. and you wouldn't be like, works. Okay, that's fine. So we worked it in the booking. But we thought... he's done really well. He genuinely feels like one of the guys who, in the very short space of time that we'd been running at that point, obviously he was doing loads of other stuff in other promotions as well, but the short space of time that we'd running, you'd see a noticeable change in his stature and his standing. I think by his own admission, I think, did he even mention this in an interview once? And he said something like, there was no chance in hell I was ever on that initial tournament if it wasn't for that admittedly short run there, yeah. where we strapped him up, we took the belt off Killian Dane. You remember that incredible lineage of WCPW champions as it ended up going. And he was a real standout in that tournament. They obviously, like, again, it was WWE doing WWE. And went, oh, you're missing part of your ear? Can you just keep showing the camera that and snarling? It was very little, but it was more than all but, I think, I'm fair and right in saying Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne yeah. got in that tournament. He was probably the third or fourth guy in that to come out of it. But then they just forgot all about him. And obviously, like as everybody else did, who got signed up to those contracts, he worked a lot of independent dates in the UK. He's obviously he's not stopped wrestling, yeah. even if he hasn't been used very well. They keep around on the UK tours, obviously appeared in NXT UK a couple of times. But if you look at sort of the start he had and where he was at the start, it's a total waste, total waste of ability. He was somebody who they were apart crying out for when they started out. NXT UK. I watched, as with everyone, I watched the first couple episodes of that. And it was just, there was nobody who was like credibly or believably like interesting or particularly bad or felt like they had an edge to them. And it's like, you got Joseph Connors there, man. Like, even if you are just obsessed with the fact he's like missing part of his ear, and oh, that's scary. That's better than character development. It's still something. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's something you know how to work with. So yeah, as with everybody who's getting back into doing what they do best. I'm delighted for him. I saw the promo we had over on social media. Was it this week or last week?
I think it was this week.
Was it this week? This week's been... hasn't existed for the purposes of time and space this week. But yeah, really good. Love Joseph Connors. All the best.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, whilst we're talking about releases, there is an elephant in the room we kind of have to talk about. Jeff Hardy obviously released this week. We saw the footage and the report about him being taken off the shows and stuff. And, you know, he was a rough week, I think it was described as, and WWE offering him help and rehab and him turning that down. And kind of as a result of all that, him being released. It's, we talked about this in the news, Sige. It's a horrible story to have to report because of people's knowledge of Jeff Hardy's issues outside of the ring. And, you know, we're not going to sit here and speculate about what's the future for him or, you know, the cause of all this. I just wanted to, I felt like it was worthy of a mention. And, you know, wanted
Can I just flag up? I haven't seen today's update on this. Has there been any update on it?
Well, it's the main thing is...
Obviously, me and you did the news when it broke yesterday. Obviously, it was still quite sketchy then.
What was it? I think it was Andrew Zarian who provided
an
update
Matt Men.
On this. And basically, what he said, I'll get the quote here, actually, in fact. He talked... They mentioned about him being impaired at the 4th of December house show in Texas. And, yeah, it was one of those things where... WWE had offered this help. Andrew Zarian's report basically said that he was, you know, he seemed to be mostly in control and then suddenly had a sort of rough patch out of nowhere, basically.
Yeah, and Jeff has apparently refused WWE's offer of rehabilitation. Yeah. In doing so, knowing damn well that he'd get released, and that is what the case has happened. Two things I want to mention before we move on. One, inpatient treatment isn't the only route to stop drinking, yep. So hopefully that is. He'll seek an alternative avenue for that. Two, this feels totally at odds considering we've glorified alcohol use at the start of this podcast because you had a great time doing it, of course, the other night. We are all subjectively and uniquely troubled in our own ways, and as a result, we should have a collective empathy towards everyone's own struggles.
I mentioned this in the news. I was disgusted to see people reacting to this on social media other than just simply saying, hope he gets the help he needs and wishing him well in his recovery. The speculating about where he's going to go next or speculating about the reasoning for this or speculating whether this is a bloody storyline for him to revamp his character, it disgusts me.
I mean, I'm not being funny, it's WWE. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. It's not beyond the pale for them to do something like this. On separate occasions, by all accounts, they've made the only decision they could have made. They've made it swiftly, irrespective of whether it's... contradicts things they've done in their past. They've done it now, so that's something.
I'll just read this quote from Andrew Zarian, and then we'll move on. What I was told is that he's been really good. He does occasionally drink, but the last few weeks have been rough for him. Those are the words, more or less. I hope he gets better. I suppose you've just got to echo those sentiments here from all of us.
I think we did the news yesterday. I'd have a quick look at some of the comments. Obviously, there's a lot of concern, I think, comes from the headline of he's refused WWE's offer of rehabilitation. So I'm really glad you pointed it out there that, like, the guy has got a good support network around, as far as we know. Like, his family's always there for him. The outpouring of love that's been from everybody who shares a locker room with, from, you know, former colleagues, current colleagues. I'm in no doubt whatsoever that, you know, there will be people around him who are helping him make the right choices. And, you know, the guy's been here himself.
Yeah.
And if he's taking himself out of the spotlight, effectively, if that helps him get the help he needs, then yeah. I just little headlines to go along with it, like not taking WWE's offer. I just think can lend itself to, you know, to speculation and to hyperbole and stuff. When right now a lot of the facts aren't available, and you've just got to kind of hope he's doing right by himself.
Right, before we get to this week's hashtag bloody good quiz, a quick preview looking ahead to Winter is Coming. Obviously, we normally do this if the pay-per-view is at the weekend. This is sort of a TV special going down next week on Dynamite. Sige, first of all, your thoughts, not to step all over our toes with the Dynamite preview next week, but your thoughts on the AEW Dynamite beautiful diamond ring. Is this a repeat, a three-peat, I suppose, for MJF retaining? Or could it be Dante Martin? Or is there factors about him joining then leaving Team Taz going to be too much for all this?
As a mark, I would say this, but what a bit of an ingenious booking. Like, more MJF versus Wardlow, when it actually happens, is going to be massive. The threat of them breaking up lingers all of the goddamn time. It lingers over this match. The drama in it's going to be incredible because it might feed into the CM Punk versus MJF feud, which is the short-term direction. It might feed into the MJF versus Wardlow feud, which is the medium to long-term direction, it looks like. There's a million different ways this can go. I'm going to say that he holds on to the diamond ring.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I'll work that out before we get to the preview, but this match itself should be great.
It was surreal as well as MJF as the hometown hero this week. I know we covered it a lot on the Dynamite review, but it was bizarro world to steal a WWE term.
Absolutely. And the best thing about this specific dynamic is that if there's any kind of residual, wasn't MJF great last week? I might be more prone to cheering him this week. Dante Martin can do something ridiculous in like 10 seconds. That'll just get the fans on his side. MJF is such a master storyteller like that. He can make people want a Dante Martin high spot more than anybody else by like just ducking out the ring, stalling, doing loads of different counters. Like, you'll know exactly how to maximize his high spots. This is very much Dynamite preview fodder.
Yes, and in terms of singles matches that they can just hoy on with no build in recent weeks.
Oh my God,
say.
Do the quiz.
But no build for recent weeks.
Too much wrestling on Wrestle Culture for Cleveland.
Hikaru Shida and Serena Deeb is going to be masterful.
Me too. It's been a long week.
Do the quiz.
Does Hangman Page retain the AEW World Championship against Bryan Danielson next week for you, Cleary?
Yeah, do the quiz.
Yeah?
Yeah, of course he does. Oh, come on. Like, after all the times I had to come in this office and hear about this cowboy story and I had to watch all those fan-made promo packages. Oh, Adam, how do you think that Punk, you've been excited for Punk and Brian's arrival, but how does it impact Hangman Page, who you've definitely not forgotten about? Oh, what? What's all this? After all that, you're just going to drop it to Brian. Quiz.
Danielson's going to make you feel at least 10 times with a different submission that he's going to win the title, but ultimately he won't.
There we go. We'll preview this more next week. But enough of all this. It's now time for a bloody good quiz.
Force. The force you hit that with now.
Yeah. It's all
like,
got a message, got to read it to alleviate the anxiety. Yeah. My son's recital went very well.
Hey!
Very good.
What was he reciting?
Something to do with the Nativity. Yeah. I'm going to watch it online. There's only a two-person max.
Oh. Fair enough.
Well, no room at the inn.
Piss off. Schmuck.
So this week's quiz is brought to you and actually created by Matt Takimoto, who says, Adam and the rest of the What Culture Legends, a hearty thank you showing me what the next level of wrestling fandom looks like. As a childhood WCW fan who lost interest once Goldberg lost his streak, I rediscovered my love for pro wrestling when I heard Chris Jericho was champion of a new promotion and his belt had already been stolen. I watched episode 1 of Dynamite, haven't missed one since, and I really appreciate the Dadley's insights and hidden gems from Wrestling Arcana that elevate what I watched the night before in something more macro and layered. I've attached a hashtag bloody good quiz all about the AEW championships. I've also combined a surely incomplete list I'm calling Wrestlers Whose Names I Can't Say in a Normal Voice Because of the What Culture Lads. Mostly Wilborn. Reading them all at once might break something, so be careful. Check this out, Sage. Ready? The list includes Mace, T-Bar, Tony D'Angelo, Santos Escobar, Cameron Grimes, baby, to the moon. Tony Nese and his tiny knees, the grizzled young veterans, Braun Breaker,
Pete Dunne,
Indu Jab, Von Wagner. What's his characteristic? What's he got?
He's got hard.
Come.
Calm Tuesday.
He also got Rick Boogs, FDR. We also have Layla Hirsch.
And God bless the United States.
Rebel not Reba, Reba not Rebel. Big George.
Randy.
And my favourite one, Bish Bosh and Boris Johnson, or whatever their names are, which I believe is the Brooks Jensen, Josh Briggs combo in NXT.
If he thinks this is good, he should hear all the names you don't pronounce properly in the office, but won't do on podcast.
Are there two Antipodeans who...
Excuse me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. They're now the Inspiration, but they're formerly known as the Iconics.
How can they start with the same letter? And you still somehow you've managed to find a seventh vowel for each of them.
Anyway, she gets this quiz.
Yes.
If you want to have your name associated with the hashtag bloody good quiz, by the way, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. So 10 questions. We are playing for this delicious bar of Galaxy Smooth Milk that I've purchased.
What's the grams on it?
200 grams.
How many? Yeah, no, but like, what's the nutritional value?
Different priorities.
Portion size. Let's have a look.
Oh, here you go. It says it will make your dick go hard.
So 10 questions. I thought this would be very
And for any Americans listening to this, that is how good Galaxy Smooth Milk Chocolate is. You Hershey nonces.
Oh, God, they eat such
awful
trash.
Hershey's, isn't it?
Absolutely disgusting.
Get a grip. grow up.
Want some cocoa with your sugar?
So, 10 questions. I'm going to pit you, Adam Cleary, against Mr. AEW, the guy who's written a book all about AEW, in fact.
From a business standpoint, it is catastrophic if I win you.
Okay.
The amount of AEW book refunds we're going to be getting if you lose this.
It's fine.
He's just edited the thing, so he should know his stuff.
Yeah.
Skimmed it.
Whatculture.bigcartel.com, but... watch this space for further developments.
If it is your Christmas wish, perhaps there will be some joy in your stocking.
Handbag.
10 questions, multiple choice. Shout your name. Wait for me to come to you. Question number one. Thank you once again to Matt for this quiz. Question number one. Which of AEW's four major pay-per-views has seen the most title changes? Brackets. This does not include inaugural champions.
Adam. All Out.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Oh. Is it all championships?
Most title changes, not including inaugural champions. That's all I've got to work on here.
I didn't hear that bit. Can I go again?
No.
Good radio, this.
Jesus Christ. Full Gear?
Solid start.
Full guess, Molly.
It was, I.
Question number two. Chris Jericho famously touted himself as the youngest ever AEW champion during his
Adam,
reign.
Adam, correct. True.
But as of Full Gear 2021, which wrestler was the youngest ever to win a championship belt in AEW? Was it Hangman Page, Darby Allin, Riho, or Sammy Guevara?
Adam. Sammy Guevara.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Sidgwick, Riho.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say Riho.
Two for two. Number three, SCU's defeated the Lucha Bros to become the inaugural AEW tag champs on Dynamite. But what move finished off the match? Was it SCU later, TKO, Celebrity Rehab, or a roll-up?
Can't have been a roll-up. You nerds would have had kittens over that. Adam, TKO.
No, dear, that's wrong.
No, wait, no, I meant SCU later. SCU later. I meant SCU later.
Over to Max Sidgwick. Yeah. That's a long time ago, to be fair.
Yeah, SCU later?
No, dear, that's wrong.
It was a roll-up. It was a roll-up, yeah? I genuinely don't remember that.
I can't remember that.
Question number four, still 2-0 to Sidge. How many AEW championship matches for any of the AEW-branded belts have featured some sort of stipulation? 12, 13, 14, or 15. I didn't write this question, Adam Cleary. So,
yeah, well, look, fair play to this lad. At least he hasn't done match times, all right? Your usual go to the well when you can't think of anything
good.
Yeah,
fair.
Oh, how long was this match between the Big Show and the other Big Show?
Fake Big Show.
Fake Big Show.
Sidgwick, 13.
No, dear, that's wrong.
What's left?
12, 14, or 15?
14.
Yay!
Back in the game.
Down the middle. Down the middle.
Speaking of stipulations, the Cody Rhodes Brody Lee dog collar match was full of shenanigans because, well, Cody. Among the chaos was Arn Anderson delivering a spine buster to a member of the Dark Order. But which member's spine hit the pine? Was it Evil Uno, Alex Reynolds, John Silver, or Alan Angels?
Adam, John Silver.
No, dear, that's wrong.
You give it a, I know they can't see this, but you give it away with your face.
Oh, sorry.
Sidgwick. Alex Reynolds.
Yay!
Oh, I've heard of that one.
He's Silver's tag team partner from the Beaver Boys.
Okay.
3-1, halfway. Question six. The FTW Championship exists at the fringes of AEW canon, though the graphics team certainly recognises it, judging by Ricky Starks' orange lower third. The FTW title was both awarded to Brian Cage and won by Starks 377 days
Christ,
later.
Is this a question or a Wikipedia entry, man?
But on what AEW program did it change hands? Was it Dynamite? Fyter Fest?
Sidgwick Fyter Fest.
Yay!
Wow. He's in his stride now, isn't he? What's that, 4-1?
Yeah. 4-1.
Question seven.
You'd have to really mess this up from here.
And, oh, you prick, I'm going to know.
Including hardware from other promotions, How many different wearable championships have been contested
wearable championships?
In AEW? 9, 10, 11, or 12. He's counting on his hands here, Cleary.
Putting it under the table so I can't see him count.
I love it.
Adam, 11.
11.
No,
oh,
dear,
that's
so
funny.
9,
10. Well, the other options?
9, 10, or 12.
It'll be 10. It'll be 10. Just go 10. Trust me, it's 10.
Wearable championships. I like the way he's worded that.
I don't know if the TBS one counts.
Is it wearable?
Yes, but it's not really been the title yet. We're just in the tournament.
Mm.
10.
No, dear, that's wrong.
It was 12.
It was never 10.
The four AEW titles, FTW Championship, IWGP US Championship, AAA Mega Championship, AAA Tag Championship, Impact Championship, TNA Championship, Impact Tag Team titles, and of course, the beautiful Diamond Ring. Three questions to go. 4-1.
Yeah, you can only draw.
Oh, goodness. All right. The highest rated hashtag and new match in AEW history, at least as far as the Meltzer scale is concerned, is the 5.75, 5¾ star Lucha Bros Young Bucks cage match from All Out 2021.
Good that.
But which hashtag and new match is Meltzer's lowest rated in AEW history? Is it Riho Nyla Rose?
Adam, that one.
Yay!
That sucked. Nothing ever going to suck more than that.
3¼ stars he gave for that.
It was great. It was a bit sloppy, but the entire audience was losing their minds.
The other options were going to be Moxley Jericho from Revolution. Cody
Lance. 3-3.
Cody Lance Archer from Double or Nothing 2020.
That was that 3-3 as well?
Oh, yeah. Wait. You're right, that was. I watched that was really early. It was really early.
It was
early.
The first one.
That was the first one, yeah. That was really good.
That was class.
What am I thinking of?
I don't know, there was
what was the one that it was full of botches?
Title match.
Yeah. There was, I'm sure it was.
I know. It was Chris Statlander you're thinking of.
That's it.
He's thinking of Chris. Was it Baker and Statlander or was that? Maybe, Sheeda and Statlander, I think. It was just a lot of miscommunication. That doesn't feature, in fact. Right, question 9, 4-2.
Oh, squeaking on time!
Belts don't change hands often in AEW, but which of the four main AEW prizes has the highest percentage of matches that end in an hashtag and new champion? The TNT Championship, the AEW World Championship, the AEW Tag Championships, or the AEW Women's Championship?
Sidgwick TNT.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Can you do those again, please?
TNT Championship, AEW World Championship, AEW Tag Championship, AEW Women's Championship.
Now, you see, I can see what you've done there, because there's been a lot of champions for that, but honestly, you must defend it quite a lot. Well, I'm weirdly drawn towards the AEW Championship, because they don't defend that often, do they? And there's been four of them now.
I won't press the button.
No.
Oh, he hasn't said it yet.
No, because if I don't get it, this is shit. This is all bust, isn't it? One of them three. So what? TNT, AW, Tag, Women's.
Yes.
And he's had TNT.
He had TNT.
The tag team titles be defended all the time on television. It's not that one. How many women? I can't think how many women's champions have been. That's where I'm going to fall down on this. I'm going to get it on the tail. I'm going to say the AEW championship. I don't think they defend it that often, and there's been like four champions.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He's in with a shout. He's in with a shout.
The book's really good. I worked hard on it.
I did read it.
I will tell you.
Edited.
Both
it.
The
don't
world.
Tell us it didn't edit.
Both the world.
But it's in a box.
Both the World Championship and the Women's Championship would have been the correct answer there. Both 18.1%.
That's actually 2 points.
TNT Championship changes hands 15.3% of the time. Six champions out of 39.
I'm going to be honest with you, Will, but I misheard the question.
Okay.
What do you think he said?
That's the most champions per belt.
Yeah. No. That would have been correct if that was the question. You would have got the point.
That was the question.
Question 10. There are five options for this one as well.
Five?
Yeah. I make the rules here. There are, as of Winter is Coming 2021, four wrestlers that have lost five or more matches for an AEW championship. Which of the following is not one of those four?
I'm tired. What can you say it again? One more time.
I don't understand this. Sorry, go on.
As of Winter is Coming,
right?
Four wrestlers have lost five or more matches for an AEW championship. Which of these people is not one of those four?
Oh, so there's five answers.
So
the four options. What?
There's five options. One of them hasn't lost five or more matches.
So essentially most.
They've only lost four.
Most failed championship pursuits.
Yeah, but you want the one, one that's of not them, that's yeah, not, not failure.
So this is this effect. What we're giving you is a group of people who failed to win championships. Which of these is not actually in this group?
No. This is a really complicated final question, I've just realised. People have lost five or more title matches, okay?
That's not in dispute.
Yeah, but I want the person in this list who's only lost, I'll just tell you, he's only lost four championship matches.
Oh, what's about our second sausage alarm?
Sausage alarm. Oh, I'll tell you about the sausage alarm later.
The sausage alarm was in the Rampage preview.
I had to get a sausage alarm to remember to go and buy the sausages, and this is where I come undone. I have to do an additional sausage alarm to remember to get them out of the fridge.
Can confirm this is an important sausage alarm because in one of our early weeks in this building, I went to get some stuff out of the kitchen on a Friday afternoon before I left, and I opened the fridge and thought, huh, wonder who's left all these sausages in there. Turned out to be Cedric.
Did you not eat them?
Well, this is the thing. I was in a moral maze because I looked at the date on those and the date was Monday. And I thought,
quandary.
I thought, what should I A, leave them, didn't see them, wasn't my problem. Maybe they'll be fine for him on Monday when he gets in. B, take them home, stick them in my freezer and bring them in for him. Like they are, these have two extra days on them because I froze them for you. C, just eat them. Like cook them, not like Patricia ever has his chicken. Like just eat them, cook
medium
them.
Rare.
Awful just... that. Awful that. You ever see that video? Yeah. Just eating, licking the chicken breast.
Ugh. Anyway,
yeah.
One of these people.
Yeah, still don't understand the question.
One of these people has only lost four championship matches. The other four people have lost five.
Right.
I want the one.
And
the odd
five
one.
Five options.
Five options. Ready?
Yeah.
Five people.
Five people. Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Jungle Boy, Eddie Kingston, Nyla Rose.
So right. So there's five people here. Just to clarify, four of them have lost five championship matches.
And one of them has only lost four.
Great. Go on again.
Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Jungle Boy, Eddie Kingston, Nyla Rose.
One more time for the options, please.
Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Jungle Boy, Eddie Kingston, Nyla Rose.
Oh, see, I shouldn't guess because I've got 20% chance.
This will get you half of this chocolate.
I've got a 20% chance of getting it, whereas if I let you have a punt, it might knock it down to a quarter.
If you get it right, I'm not even going to press yay or... No, no, dear, that's wrong. I'm just going to smash the chocolate bar on my chair if you get this right, okay?
What can I have again?
Sidgwick.
Adam, Rey Fénix.
Scorpio Sky.
It was Rey Fénix. He and Frankie Kazarian have lost four each, which means it's a tie. You both get half of this delicious Galaxy's.
One, and you have...
But it means you've clearly learned a
check
lot.
Check the audio over here.
No, wait a second.
Today!
Wait a second, because that clearly means you've both learned a lot from Becoming All Elite to The Rise of AEW, the book. You from writing it, you from reading it to edit it. So if people want to be as smart as both of you.
What a testimonial that is.
If people want to be as smart as both of you, they can, well, look into it, let's just say. There's going to be developments on the way. What culture? .bigcartel.com. But thank you to both of our players, Michael Sidgwick and Adam Cleary, for competing in this week's hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. Also, going to give a massive thanks as well to Matt Takemoto for not only being associated with the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, but also for writing it for us. If you want your name associated with the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review on there. Right. This has been Wrestle Culture. Don't forget you can follow us all on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. What a folk, both these lovely gentlemen. You can follow Adam Cleary at
Adam Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
And you can follow me at Adam Wilborn, of course. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, though. But for now, this has been Wrestle Culture. My thanks to Adam Cleary, to Michael Sidgwick, to you for joining us, and we will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
I tried to make my sausage alarm play, but I couldn't get it set up in time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.